Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Clear Vista Financial are not affiliated. Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions.
Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of the Spend Life Well podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. Today in the podcast studio with me are Matthew Boudreau.
Hey there, everybody.
Jesse Hamilton, the intern.
Hello.
We just like saying that.
It is fun saying, Jesse the intern.
Jesse the intern. And today we're going to continue with this theme that we touched on a few weeks ago about how do you maintain financial success when in uncertain times? And really, guys, would you say that we're kind of in uncertain times?
Absolutely.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we've been sharing, and we did the last time that we talked about this. We've been kind of reviewing as an office here Ron Blue's book, Surviving the Financial Meltdown. Now, he didn't release this last week or even this year. He wrote it back in the beginning of 2009. And some of the things that he talks about, the biblical principles there, are tried and true. They haven't changed, and they're really, the financial advice shouldn't change as well if you're looking to the Lord for guidance and wisdom. So with that, we're going to be talking about how to prepare for your finances in an uncertain economy.
All right. So before we get into these four principles, which are basic principles, I'll add, I want to kind of paint the picture with what are the top fears that I guess we're all dealing with. You know, with all that's going on between the market, the economy, the job situation, trying to figure out when we're going to get back to school, just all of these things are kind of swirling around us. Certain fears are coming out, and certain hesitations that we have, things that are stressing us out, whatever you want to call it, causing anxiety, however you want to term it. Four of the top personal fears that typically show up, the first one is the rising cost of living. We've got the economy happening. We've got inflation happening year to year. How will the effects on the current economy affect things as they go forward? Another topic that's been recent, we're talking about how much college goes up. We're doing a college planning workshop recently, and we're talking about how quickly tuition costs go up. And as parents have aging children who are getting ready to go to college, how are they dealing with those upcoming costs? This is just one of many as it comes up with some of the employment issues that are happening, furloughs, people going back to work, are raises going to happen, cost of living adjustments, are they going to happen as normal? How are we, are individual households going to be affected by the rising cost of living? Another fear is just the overall economic downturn and job insecurity. We referenced the job insecurity a second ago. We've got the recession happening, possible. We've got layoffs. We've got market declines. All of those things kind of happen around us, and it affects us one way or another. Consumer debt's another one. Those who carry the consumer debt are worried that this is going to make it harder to pay off with other expenses possibly rising. The interest on certain credit cards going up in some ways. All of this is spreading our cash flow monthly thin and just adding another weight on our shoulders. And then savings. A lot of people having to tap into their savings right now. Some of the way things Congress are passing, they're making more freedoms in accessing retirement accounts and things like that, just things that we should not be doing. People are stressing about having to access other assets to pay those monthly bills. So if that resonates with anybody listening out there, think about, how does that make you feel? How do we deal with some of these fears?
For a moment there, you got me worried.
About?
Well, a lot of people are worrying about this stuff. And this is a different economic time than we've seen for a long time. We're not so much in some ways concerned about inflation, but then again we are. And then, you know, we talked about unemployment. You know, the economy went through a period of retraction in the second quarter, and when you annualize the number, it's really scary. I want to say the annualized rate was 32.9% of GDP, negative GDP, and that's scary. Consumer debt, you know, in the last few years we've been racking up more bills, and then we find out that a lot of people aren't saving. But what does the Bible say about worrying about these things? You know, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't take action, but we don't need to worry. I know Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And then in Matthew 6:25 and 26, the scripture says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink and enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? So I rest on those verses to remind us that, okay, we may be facing some tough financial times, but it doesn't mean that we need to make drastic knee-jerk reactions to things. We need to not worry, we need to pray, and then we need to try to deal with these fears.
That's right. And I don't think any one of these individual fears or anything new. I think it's just with everything going on, it kind of amplifies, and all of a sudden we've got multiple fears all happening at the same time. So just another reason to...
Convergence of fear.
Convergence
wow.
of fear.
It's almost...
stacks
I mean,
on stacks.
I mean, they've been making movies now about what's that new Netflix one, Pandemic. I mean, it's not something you probably want to watch with your kids.
Haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I just look at the titles and I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that right now.
Yeah, that'll get you freaked out quick.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've seen the previews for it and decided not to. So.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
So, Matt, what are those four
All right.
principles of financial success?
So, we've got four principles today. They are very common themes you've heard us at least touch on in previous episodes. These are actually very common themes in really any general financial planning. But based on the fears that we discussed, hopefully these will help you solidify some of the ideas that you're dealing with. So, the first one is think long-term. Now, what does that mean? Well, it can mean with your basic goals. We can talk regular goals, family goals, financial goals, and we can talk about our investing goals. The longer you look out with your perspective, the better decisions that you're going to make. And again, why is that? Well, because emotion is kind of pulled out of the process. I mean, you want to relate it to financial decisions. If you put in a plan to get to those goals step by step, month by month, year by year, it's going to keep you on a process. It's going to keep you step by step heading down that road to those goals. If we're investing for the long term and worry less about what's happening now and in the short term, because there obviously is going to be ups and downs. We're seeing it right in front of us, ups and downs. Depends on which day you look at the market. Hopefully you're not watching those statements every other day, because that would definitely be stressful.
That's what our clients pay us to do.
Exactly.
I mean,
we're watching
it all throughout the day.
Yeah, and we know how much ups and downs within one day that could happen. You've got to think long term and not all the little nicks and nads here and there. Jesse, we were talking about long term planning earlier. What were you saying about this particular principle?
Well, I was just relating to the younger generation. I mean, I'm in my mid 20s, and this is something that's really hard to do, especially for young people in this social media fueled world we live in with our phones. Everything is instant. And how can I get money now? How can I get that new raise or that new job now? How can I move to the new exciting place now? And I've seen this play out in my life, and it's really important to slow down and think long term. It's hard to do. Taking that scripture, I mean, that's just something that's extremely difficult to do on a daily basis, especially for young people.
Yeah. Well, and you take that long, drawn-out process and, like we said, divide it up into little micro sections, it's definitely a lot more helpful.
Yeah, it's step by step.
Yeah, exactly. Good. All right, well, the second principle is going to be spend less than you earn. Now,
mind-blowing.
Yeah, exactly. Some people hear that and think, what in the world? But if you really think about it, it might be harder than you think if you don't plan this out. And so, to really accomplish this and do it well, you need to know how much you're earning, how much you're spending. You need to write out a spending plan, you know, aka budget, which, you know, is a bad word to some people.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But we have to monitor how things are going from month to month. Where's it coming from? How much is coming into our bank account? How much is going out, and why? Look at it, analyze it, figure out, and it takes time to do. You can't do this in a couple weeks. This can take a couple months, really. I know when we meet with new clients and ask them these questions, we say, hey, how much are you spending every month? And, you know,
I don't know.
A couple look at each other, shrug their shoulders, and like, well, let's think about that. And
99%.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people that when we start a relationship on, they don't know the answer. Now, after they start working with us, they know the answer. But it's a painful process for some, because if they write down what they spend every month, they might be surprised. And I don't know, you know, if you track your spending, just track it. And that's why I always tell people when we're coaching, just write it down. Mm-hmm. We don't care where you spend your money. You know, a lot of times people are asking us, like, well, do you have a guide? Do you have a guide that says how much I should spend? It's like, why do you want a guide?
They're out there, but yeah.
It's your money. Exactly. Spend it all. If you want to live in a shack and go to Starbucks 10 times a day, that's your right. You get to go do that. It's your money. You know, but you will be surprised. You will find things in your spending that you might even know are there. And I don't want to digress, but I have to share the story of Dr. Pepper Man.
Dr. Pepper Man.
Dr. Pepper Man, I love the guy. And of course, I love that he loves Dr. Pepper. But we were helping him. He was in a bad situation. He had wages being garnished. The IRS was coming after him. So he needed to know where every dollar was going. So we went and had him track his spending for a while. And he came back. We asked him, he was like, so did you see anything that surprised you? And he goes, yeah, there were a few things, but especially how much I'm spending on Dr. Pepper. And we're like, well, how much do you spend on Dr. Pepper? Yeah. And I can't remember the exact number. It was something like $350 a month. Okay, and he's like, that's a lot of Dr. Pepper, right?
You could find a cheap rent for that.
Yeah.
Say car payment, yeah.
Yeah, car payment. I mean, it's – anyway, so we're – we as financial – just so you, the podcast world knows, we as financial advisors, sometimes we fight to remain emotionless because we don't want to act aghast or surprised that someone's spending $350 a month on Dr. Pepper. Now, I spend a lot of money on soda. I know I shouldn't. This is a shout-out to my wife. So Dr. Pepper Man spends $350-something dollars, and this is what he did. He started writing everything down, and what he was doing was he would go to work in the morning, stop by the 7-Eleven or the Circle K or whatever, and he'd buy 2 20-ounce Dr. Peppers, all right? So that's what – I don't even know what they are now today, but they're probably $2.10 or something like that. So $4 and some change there. And then at lunchtime, he would go out, and he would buy another 2 Dr. Peppers, all right? So this guy clearly – had never heard of peppering up at 10, 2, and 4. He was going to do it in the morning and at noon. And then he would buy another one on the way home. Now, it never dawned on him to buy in bulk or anything like that. But anyway, he was spending a good $12 a day, something like that, on Dr. Pepper.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but...
And the guy was super healthy. Huh. He would think he'd be diabetic or something, drinking that much... sugar during the day, but he was fine. So we worked with him in his budget. And this is just by learning that he's writing it down. We weren't critical. I like Dr. Pepper too. So he basically said, all right, what are you going to do about this? And he goes, well, to be honest, I love Dr. Pepper. And we're like, yeah, we see that. He goes, but so I'm not going to stop drinking Dr. Pepper. We don't want you to stop drinking Dr. Pepper or triple mocha latte, whatever, from Starbucks, but you can change the way you consume it, all right? So for him, all he was going to do was he had a cooler at home, and he was going to go to Sam's or Costco or just the HEB, right, the grocery store, and he was going to buy a case of it for about a third of the cost of him going and buying it at the convenience store. He consumed the same amount of Dr. Pepper, but he cut his Dr. Pepper bill, his doctor bill, from $350 a month to about $100 a month. That's still a lot of Dr. Pepper, right?
Yeah.
But that was just his change that he was going to make. So writing down what you spend can really open your eyes to what's out there. But you can't start and trying to figure out where you stand unless you write it down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's easier said than done. I mean, by the time this airs, I will have been married just about 7 months. And I mean, we're still trying to figure that out.
We're still together. That's good.
We're still together. Yeah.
I know we visited that. On the floor anywhere in the office.
Yeah, we visited that a few weeks ago. But I mean, it's still a day to day. Write it down. Track what you're doing, where you're going. It's hard.
It's an ongoing process. Absolutely. Yeah. And as long as you're working through it, communicating and revisiting and how you can make it better, it's always working in the right direction. It's funny because you were talking about those habits. Next statement I was going to make about this is to develop good habits and self-control to avoid overspending. And I think the self-control all ties into the Dr. Pepper Man and how he improved that situation.
Yeah,
we all know a Dr. Pepper Man.
Yeah, well. So if you consistently spend less than what you earn over a long period of time, obviously you're going to work in the right direction of being better off financially. So the third principle is maintain an emergency savings. Now, that reserve, you always hear say, hey, you need an emergency fund. You need some sort of backup plan. But this reserve that's set aside, it's going to help you ride out any surprises. Life definitely tends to throw surprises at us from time to time. You can't predict what's going to happen. But you have to spend less than what you earn so that you can build savings, which is why it's an important part. Savings is also going to affect the debt thing, which is the next point. Minimize the use of debt.
Hey, Matt, before we go forward,
yep.
What kind of emergency fund do we need?
Depends on your situation, obviously, but we need at least start off with a number, whether it's $1,000 or $2,000, okay? It shows you can save something.
That's when we're getting out of debt. We need at least $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
things
because
will happen.
Your tire will go flat or whatever. Right. Right. But then we're talking 3 to 6 months worth of savings.
Okay. So this is after we paid off our debt. We want to build up to that goal. Three to 6 months of living expenses.
Yeah. And
okay.
I mean, take the times of what's going on right now. If people are losing their jobs, if they're being furloughed temporarily, we don't know how long that's going to last. We don't know how long it's going to be before things get back to normal. And if you think about it, we've been in this strange situation since, what, March? How many months ago was that? That's 3, 4, 5 months ago almost.
Yep.
And so having a 3 to 6 month worth of savings would, I guess, reduce a little bit of stress.
Still
as
be
we
in the clear as of right now.
As of right now. But also along those lines of debt, it also increases risk. And we're trying to mitigate that as much as possible, too. It may allow you, I'm talking about using debt now, using your credit cards, using those debt sources may allow you to feel like you have more now or do more now, but it's going to reduce your ability to have more in the future. And that's where we want to point you thinking. In most cases, a financial disaster, there's debt involved.
Man, I hate debt.
Mm-hmm.
I hate debt because it just weighs you down.
Yep.
It's like trying to walk through life with a big giant sea anchor on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's handcuffs, it's ankle weights, whatever you want to call it. It's a problem.
I always thought that debt was, I mean, credit cards were good, you know, because, you know, you're in college, there's this cute girl out in front of the bookstore, and she's giving away T-shirts if you just sign up for a Discover card. And I'm giving you that detail because that's what happened to me, and so you know they start you out with a $500 limit. Whoa. And that's enough to buy a TV for your dorm room, right?
Exactly.
And so you just gotta avoid that because it's a trap. Because eventually you do have to pay it back. I don't care what these radio ads show and say you don't have to pay it back. It's a little known secret. That's for people that have bad financial situations. They've had too much debt. They can't get out of it. The reality is we owe what we spent. If we put it on, and we can't leverage the future that way. It doesn't work the same way with a financial transaction where you're using a little debt for leverage. This is debt on things that you've already consumed and already have bought, and you can't go sell them back. And so it has a double whammy effect, especially if you don't have the emergency fund and if you are in a situation where you've lost your job. It can cripple you.
and while other problems may come along, which again they probably will, debt even magnifies that worse. It's just that extra stress. It brings the anxiety. Mm-hmm. It magnifies the problem, like we said earlier. It's just, there's nothing good about it. So, guys, those are the four principles we really wanted to discuss today. They're very basic. They're very simple. Again, these themes you've heard us talk about before, and we'll probably touch on them again. But bottom line is that these things have stood the test of time. They work when the economy is in a recession, a depression, when it's booming. And besides that, they were outlined in the Bible thousands of years ago. Rich people recognize it, and poor people can attest to how they affect their situation. So the bottom line is this: how can we immediately apply these principles? Obviously, the best time is to start some of these things before a storm hits, before a disaster occurs. And you may find yourself there, and you may think that it, or feel that it's too late. You may feel like it's kind of swirling around you and it's hitting you from every side. But the good news is that you can start now. Even though you're in the middle of the unknown, you can still start some of these processes now. They can help lead you out of a crisis, and they can definitely prevent many future ones. Another scripture I wanted to read today was Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And, you know, the diligent we want to talk about is planning through some of these things. When we talk about haste, we're talking about reacting out of how these things are affecting. And we definitely want to plan before and after situations of haste occur. So hopefully you'll find some value in that today. Hopefully these principles will encourage you and strengthen you as you find yourself wherever you are. Guys, do you have anything else you want to add to that today?
It's amazing how biblical wisdom never changes and is always relevant.
Yep, always. Thousands of years. So, well, be safe out there. Be encouraged. Always reach out. You always have the freedom to reach out to us. If you need anything, have any questions, you can always email us at info@clearvistafinancial.com. Visit us on our website at clearvistafinancial.com. And send us a message through any of those meetings there. So, hope you have a good one. We'll see you next time on the Spend Like Well Show.